One of the things that we find today that is changing in the education world is educators are now beginning to realize and to recognize self-esteem is a crock of baloney. When I first began to say that it was meaningless, it was anti-biblical, I had a lot of flack. I had people in church tell me I was wrong. I had folks think that I had flipped my lid. But I knew from where I stood, because the Word of God tells us we ought to esteem other better than ourselves. So if you stand on the Word of God, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. Amen. Esteeming self, from what I would understand, is nothing more than pride. Would you agree with me? We have enough pride. Okay? Pride is thinking I am right no matter what. And importance upon herself. Educators are beginning to recognize that their emphasis on self-esteem has been very highly misguided. This has not trickled down to our schools yet. It's not trickled down to many who are in education, though it's beginning to. 2 years ago in the Nonpareil, I discovered that from an article, it was front page, I was talking about in our Council Bluffs Public Schools, they now have an educational associate of some sort that is doing nothing more than trying to promote with educators the idea of character instead. Because, and what the title of the article said, character counts. Character counts. Let me read you a couple of quotes that I found highly interesting. The first one says, praising achievement can convey the idea that they, excuse me, I'm going to get messed up. Praising achievement can convey the idea of using people to meet a goal or advance an agenda. In contrast, genuinely praising character communicates an interest in the welfare and success of individuals. Interesting thought. We would concentrate our praise upon character as opposed to achievement, we will find ourselves in better situation. Another quote in the same article says, every achievement seek to identify and praise the character quality demonstrated that made it possible. Now with that in mind, I want to deal with a character trait tonight that is perhaps an underlying trait that we need in our lives. It's desperately missing and very important for us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, you do not need to stand. Allow me to read this. You got your Bible open. Notice what it says. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them what? All right, we should let them slip. So he says, let us give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And the character trait that I'd like for us to stop and talk about tonight, and if I can get this into our hearts and our souls, I believe it can be that which can begin to develop many, many other things. And that character trait is attentiveness. Being attentive. I find that that is something that is highly, highly missing in today's society. What is being attentive? What is it? What is it? Interesting. You got an answer for me?
Show attention.
Active listening. Interesting thought. Alrighty. Attentive. Good thoughts that they have. Being attentive. Very, very important that we learn this thing of attentiveness. A definition that I did not make up, but one that that we use around here, demonstrating that the person is deserving by giving genuine courtesy and consideration to God's words and a person's words. In other words, when we are attentive, we are saying, hey, I appreciate the person speaking, whether it be God or whether it be another person. Eh? Interesting word. Etymology is a big term that simply means where a word came from, how this word came about. And if you look at the etymology of this word attentive, we find that it comes from a French word, attendre. Anybody speak French here? You taking French? Okay. I never took it, but it's a word that means to wait, to hold, to expect. Okay? So it's coming from this root word or from this word in French. Now that particular word has its roots going clear back into the Latin, which was the language of the Romans. And of the languages of the world, most languages are built out of Latin and Greek today. Okay? Much of the what we call the Romantic languages, those of Europe, they are coming out of the Latin. I took Latin as a high school student. Let me rephrase that. Latin took me, almost took me under. But Latin is the bottom line on this particular word as far as we know. And this word in the Latin is really from a phrase, ad tendo. And it means to stretch. Now think about this. It means to stretch like a horse will have its ears and it will turn or stretch its ears. Okay? And that's the idea with it. Or as a fowl, or let's say a chicken or a bird, as they will stretch, and you've heard them do, or you've seen them do that, as they're seeking to hear, they are being very attentive. In the springtime, you see a robin hop down on the ground and watch him take a few steps and he turn his head. And what's interesting about that robin is actually listening for the worms or the earthworms in the soil to move. They're listening. And when they hear one fairly close to the surface, they go after it. And pretty soon you'll see him pulling an earthworm out of the ground. How's he doing? He's paying attention with these ears. That's where this word comes from. So attentiveness is very important. I remember a few years ago that the Mars Climate Orbiter, the Christ. Any of you remember that? They sent an orbiter or sent a rocket with this, what's the word I'm looking for? They sent this probe and they were wanting to discover the climate on Mars. But they made a miscalculation, and as a result of it, it crashed. And they made the miscalculation, a $125 million probe. Now think about the cost of this thing. It was lost simply because they didn't convert from English units to metric units. That can be a big deal. But it was a very simple and yet a very costly mistake. Is attention to detail important? If I put up here a 1 and 2 zeros, would it be important to you if it had a dollar sign on it where I put the decimal? Sure would. If I put it after the 1, you wouldn't be quite as interested because that would be what? A dollar. If I put it after the first zero, it's going to be what? You get a little more excited? And if I put the decimal after two zeros, it's going to be 100. That's just a little dinky dot. And the difference is what? $99. Are details important? Yes, they are. Attention to details is important. We need to learn to be attentive in our work. He says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Our problem as Christians often is we do not really pay attention to the reading of the Word of God. We do not really pay attention to the preaching of the Word of God or the teaching of the Word of God, and we miss out on so much. And it's a real problem. And how we need to address this problem in some way or fashion. The admonishment that we find in this verse is so important that I believe we need to consider some steps that we might be able to take to make us give more earnest heed. Now, for you young folks who are here tonight, this is something you can not only use in church, not only use in that, but you can use it in school, in all of life. We need to learn to be attentive. It's very important. Now, let me give you tonight, you might think these things are not very scriptural. You might think these things don't have a whole lot to do with the Bible, but let's remember something. We're trying to get across one thing, that we need to give more earnest heed. We need to learn to be attentive. How can we do that? How can we be more attentive? Let me give you my first thought. The person who is speaking, look at them. Look at the person who is speaking. It is very important for us. We communicate our esteem for others by looking at them when they speak. I'll tell you what, gentlemen, no doubt you have been in this spot. I've been in it many times. You say something, your wife is saying something, and you're fiddling with something else, and you're going to hear something like, "Aren't you listening to me?" You guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you probably have. No doubt, you young folks, you've heard that on occasion. And it seems like, listen, because, and no doubt, you have talked to somebody and they're fiddling doing something else. One of my pet peeves that I have in this day and age, and I do it once in a while myself, is when people are talking to me and they're constantly looking at their... It's like, are they more important? I'm standing in front of you. They're 23 miles away. You know what I'm saying? So how can we be more attentive? One of the things to do is look people in the eye whom are speaking. It's saying to them, and really it's saying to yourself, it is important. You are important. When we don't listen, we miss important information. Think about it. It is amazing to me. I can stand here and give instructions and have 15 people listen and get 15 different ideas from it. And a lot of times it's simply because people do not pay attention. Now, some of it has to do with background, what we're thinking about at the time, understand all those things. But we are a people who need to learn to what? Pay attention. Look at the person. One of the most beautiful things to watch is a drill team or a marching band. And to see them perform and do all of their stuff in cadence, one with another. But do you recognize that a marching band, they have to have a drum major. He is setting the pace. He's setting the tone. And the person who's not watching him is very likely to end up doing the wrong thing. It's very important we go in that direction. And we must pay attention to those kinds of things. Look at the person we're dealing with. Talk to you afterwards. Okay, thank you. What were you going to say? But they all have to have in cadence with each other. Okay, so it's important that they, what, are paying attention. It's very, very important. So we need to look at the people when they speak. Number two, and again, let's think about this. The Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should what? Let them slip. Things get away from us because we do not pay attention. Number two, learn to listen. Listening is a learned thing. It doesn't come automatically. It's interesting that every one of us have two ears and one mouth, but for some reason we want to use the mouth more than the ears. But we need to learn to listen. To be an attentive listener is to be, as one boy said, an active listener. What do we mean by being an active listener? How can we be active in listening? Think about it. Stop talking. Stop talking. So many people, for instance, in a preaching service, do not get anything. Well, I didn't get anything out of it. Well, if you have stopped talking for a little bit, you might have. And it might have helped some other people. Stop talking. Another one is eliminate distractions. Now, I realize not everybody can sit on the first or second row of a church service or wherever it is. But for me, I always like to sit up close. I didn't want to have somebody distracting me, so I remove them from my sight by moving up closer. Now, some people, they can concentrate so that everything in between does not bother them. Now, normally in a church service, I might be looking at you, but I don't normally see a whole lot. Now, there's a couple of reasons for that. But one, the intensity is so much in my heart and mind of what I want to say and get across that if I get focused on somebody, it sometimes can mess me up. And another thing is sometimes it makes me plain mad. You don't want to get me mad, so pay attention. Eliminate distractions. Focus on the speaker, not everything else. Focus on the speaker. I've made this comment on many occasions and something that very few folks really take advantage of, but take notes. I have folks say to me, but I don't know what to write down. And I've said to them, well, you don't know. Some folks think that taking notes means you got to write down everything the speaker says and they can't keep up. There's no way you can write as fast as I talk. But there's some things that catch your attention that you can jot down. By the way, it's amazing how much you remember as a result of writing it down. The other night I mentioned to you, you ought to keep a journal. It's so good if you learn how to write things down. You may not, like me, not be able to read it afterwards, but it's amazing what it does for the mind. It helps us to remember. But take notes. And another thing is learn how, at the appropriate times, to ask questions. Now, in a preaching service, it's not appropriate to ask questions right in the middle of it. But a person certainly can afterwards. But learning to ask the right questions. What's that mean? That means we're listening. Okay? Now understand this, you earn the right to be heard when you are willing to listen to others. But it is a learned process, but we can learn how to do that. One of the problems that takes place in our society often is people are too busy being sarcastic or critical, and by the way, that's expressing disrespect for the one who's speaking. So we need to learn to listen. Look at the people when they speak. Another one, again, it's got to be appropriate. I mentioned a moment ago, but ask questions when we're unsure. We must internally process what we've heard. And if we don't understand it, then we need to ask questions. It's always a blessing to me that after a service, somebody comes up and they said, well, I heard you say this, and I'm trying to figure out what does that mean, and we can talk about it a little bit. Thoughtful questions ensure the speaker that you're listening. And that's a real blessing. One of the most attentive creatures in the wild is a deer. Any of you deer hunters here? Nobody? I have on a... Tom told me he was hunting deer today. Francis, you've hunted deer in the past. And I've Tom was hunting deer with a tractor today, he told me. Mowing grass. And about hit it with the front end loader. Which is kind of unusual what I'm about to tell you. They are very attentive creatures. Deer have three elements of survival. There's three things that are essential for a deer to survive. They are not an animal that can growl and bite back and have a fight with a wolf and win. It's not going to work. A male deer has horns. They can be mean, but they can be taken down by a wolf. They do not have really the ability to survive other than they have speed. They're very fast. They have camouflage. They're camouflage. Little baby deer have spots on them. The reason for the spots is normally they are in forest area And sunlight, when it comes through trees, is going to hit on the ground in a spotted fashion. And their enemies, most of them are colorblind, and when they see that, it just all blends into them. And so they have that ability. But the other one is they are very attentive. They make great use of their ears. I mentioned the horse a while ago. They can turn their ears and in the direction of the sound. Very, very good hearing. Deer have exceptional eyesight. They're not sure if deer can see color. Not the last time I read anything about it. But deer have an ability to do something you and I can't. A deer can be eating grass and be looking right at the grass, and it can be in his sight and be in focus. And at the same time, through peripheral vision, he has what we might call 20/20 vision, 30, 40, 50 yards away. You and I, it becomes blurry out there. We focus in a certain place, and the rest is somewhat blurry. But his vision is good both near and far at the same time. That's something God gave him. And they're very attentive. So while they're eating grass and they're looking at the grass and they're chewing away, they're also keeping their eyes peeled for any enemy that might be out there. And then deer also have exceptional noses. They actually put out a scent, several different kinds of scent, that they send messages one to another with. I read this. It's been a few years back up in Michigan in a kind of a swampy area. They had an area that was enclosed. It had deer-proof fencing around it. It was 1 mile square. They released into this area 39 deer into this enclosed 1 square mile area. After the deer had a little bit of chance to get used to their new surroundings, they got 6 experienced hunters. And they sent them in to find the deer, to spot them. The first day, they spotted no deer. The second day, they spotted no deer. After 51 hours, one hunter spotted one deer. What are you saying? They are very attentive to their surroundings, that they might survive. You and I need to be attentive. How can we do that? Well, we need to what? We need to look at the person whom we are speaking. We need to learn to listen, ask questions. Here's one. You say, well, this ain't spiritual. Listen, if we will practice these things, it will help our spirituality. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we let them slip. How much has slipped from us? Because we have not paid close attention. Number 4 on my little list of 5. I'm looking. Align your spine. Got a whole row setting up. It is amazing what setting up straight does to our listening ability. Seriously. Did your mom ever say, "Sit up and listen to me"? Sure. There's a reason. Believe it or not, proper position enhances our attentiveness. And by the way, it also exhibits respect to the one who is speaking to you. If you will sit up, it's an amazing thing, but your attention will also go up. We need to be attentive to the things of God. If we can get this thing and become attentive, the things that are taught from the pulpit and the things that are taught in our classes and the things that we read from the Word of God will have a greater influence in our lives. So here's a character trait that if we would allow God to build this in our lives and pay attention to these things, it will do some things for us. And going back to one we mentioned a while ago, avoid distractions. Avoid distractions. Some people shuffle papers. They'd be looking at their watch. Sometimes you might want to talk to somebody and they just keep on working. And what that's telling the speaker is, they're not really very intense in this thing. Now, I'm going to burst some bubbles tonight, but homework done with the TV will suffer. I've had many kids tell me, I can't study without the TV. You can't study well with it. Because it's offering you something to distract your attention. Now, things that distract our attention from time to time to give us a rest break, that's another thing. But I'm not talking every minute, maybe every 30 minutes. There'd be a difference. It just doesn't work. And by the way, Bible reading and family discussions might actually take place if you shut the television off. One of the last holidays, all the family got together, and of course, they're all a bunch of sports nuts. Actually, you could just say they're nuts, and you'll be right, no matter what kind of whatever's in front of that. Well, they're related to me. And anyways, I forget what was on. It was a basketball, football, I don't remember when it was. And so this thing's on. Now, when I watch television, I do not watch television with a sound. It's boring. You say you're nuts. Most of television is so simple-minded that it's more exciting for me to try to figure out what's going on. Okay? And when I'm watching a football or a basketball game, which I very rarely do, but if I'm watching that thing, I really don't care what the commentator's saying. I want to watch the game. Okay? That's me. I don't care what you do. But it was on. And this thing's blaring. We're trying to talk. And we were all talking, and this dumb television was still running. And I looked at one of them and had the remote, and I said, shut that thing off. And it was like I had just dropped a bomb on Hiroshima. You're kidding me. Well, nobody was watching. We were talking, but it was interrupting. Because every now and then, said, shut the stupid thing off. We can catch the score later. What an interesting conversation we then had. Hey, I can do that with my house. I can shut TV off. I can pull the plug. Amen? So that is what took place. But let's understand here tonight. There are some things we can do. Therefore, we ought to what? Give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We've said that enough tonight. Those who are attentive almost have this memorized. Think about it. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's talking about being attentive. Okay? How can we be attentive? And so I'm giving you some practical steps.